Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today, we're going to embark on a shorter series. Not much humor over the next couple days. This is a very serious and sobering topic. We're going to talk about suicide. Suicide, is that something that immediately sends you to hell? One of my listeners' sons, Ezra, what's up, Ezra? How you doing? Was asking his father, Dad, what about those believers who were in the Twin Towers that ended up jumping out the windows as the World Trade Center was on fire, the planes had hit the buildings, and people were, well, they were going to either suffocate in the smoke, collapse in the building, or take a flying leap out the window. And he's asking his dad, if there was one of those people that jumped out the window and they were believers and they jumped out the window, wouldn't they immediately go to hell? And that's a pretty serious question. There is a belief that in many churches, there is this kind of common belief, and I believe it's kind of one of those doctrines that doesn't get talked about a whole lot but circulates around, that if you commit suicide, no matter what, whether you're a believer or not, you're going straight to hell. Now, of course, if you're an unbeliever, that is the case. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've trusted in Christ alone for the salvation of your sins, and your eternity is secured in Christ, can you mess that up through suicide? Now, oh boy, this is a pretty heavy subject. Because listen, you know, if you're out, there's going to be a lot of people that download this podcast who are coming from different perspectives. Some of you have just lost somebody, or maybe in the recent past, whatever, have lost somebody to suicide. I have too, actually. From my perspective, sitting right here as I'm podcasting, I can look out a window and see my neighbor's house. A good Christian man. There was no doubt that he was saved. I mean, everything he did had something to do with Christ. And I know it is not your works that save you, but your works, boy, they can illuminate what kind of person you are. And I mean, this guy, everything he did in life had something to do with Jesus Christ. He ended up ending his life just a couple months back. His wife left her behind, his kids, his grandkids. It was horrific. I still don't know how he actually did it. He was suffering. He was suffering under some intense pain. He had not slept for somewhere around 3 months straight. He had an abscessed tooth, but the dentist was telling him to wait it out? What's up with that? Anyway, and he also had some parasite problems. And he had West Nile on top of that. Okay, so he had some problems. He had not slept for 3 months straight. Of course, I'm sure he had a little bit here and there, but he wasn't in his right mind. And this is something that was beyond him. Like, he would have never done this. But it happened. Friends, it happened. And what happened? Did he go straight to hell? Or did God save him anyway? That is what I want to talk about today. What about these believers who are on life support? And they have been on life support for a while. It is clear that they're not going to recover. Or at least it really seems clear. Is it right then to ask your doctor, hey, just, you know, unplug me. Let me go naturally. You know, these types of situations. There is this belief that it is an unforgivable sin. Okay, there's that scripture in 1 John chapter 1, 9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so many believers out there see that as, okay, well, if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us of our sins. But what about the converse of that? If we forget to confess a sin, especially a serious sin, if we go ahead and end our lives before we're able to confess our sins, does that mean that that sin still sits on our head? Now, there's other people that are listening to this podcast that are potentially, possibly, even considering suicide. Listen up, friend. Let me tell you something. Please, listen to the end of this series, because I want to talk to you by the time this is all done. It is a sin. There's no doubt about it. Does it damn you to hell? Well, you'll see as we go on. Absolutely not. It doesn't. But it is a sin. And it is a sin equal to murder. Okay? It's very serious. And listen, our Father in heaven knows what you're going through. He loves you. And I have to believe that He's going to find a way through this for you. And you're going to come out on the other end stronger and better and equipped to help others who are going through what you're experiencing right now. So please, hang in there, okay? Hang in there. I'm not prophesying here, but I have to believe God's going to make a way for you, okay? So going back to this topic here, some others believe that it is the unpardonable, easy for me to say, sin, which is obviously not the case, okay? That's kind of one of those fringe Christian beliefs. It's not, okay? If you just read like Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 32, it's pretty obvious as you go through there that the Pharisees were watching Jesus doing all these awesome miracles, and they wanted to attribute those miracles to Satan. I mean, so I don't want to dwell on that. Someday I'll do a series on the unpardonable sin, but not today. That's not what I'm going to talk about today, but I just want to bring that up. It's obvious that that is not the case. So suicide, what is it? Well, the sixth commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." All right? And killing in that verse, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts, I don't remember which ones, but it's actually the unjustified taking of somebody's life. Okay? Obviously, if somebody breaks in your home, and we see this in the Old Testament, somebody breaks in your home with the intention of hurting your family, and you use whatever means necessary that you have available to us. Praise God, we live in America, and we still can have means of protecting ourselves. For how long, I don't know. But you decide to take matters in your hands, and you protect your family. More power to you. I encourage you to do that. Protect your family. And that person is removed from your home horizontally, okay, on a stretcher. That's not murder, okay? That's not the unjustified taking of somebody's life. That'd be self-defense, and you are also defending life. We're talking about a situation here where you actually take someone's life, and God looks at that and says, that is murder. That is the unjustified taking of someone's life. Suicide falls into that camp, all right? That is murder. Now, is that a damnable offense? Well, yes and no. If you are a saved person and you commit a heinous crime like that, okay, actually, if you're an unsaved person and you commit a crime like that too, can you be forgiven? Well, I know of one guy. His name is David, King David. He was the king of Israel. He did a lot of great things. God called him a man after my own heart. But we all know this weird story. You know, I praise God for stories like this, because sometimes I just feel like a massive sinner. And then I think about David, and I'm like, whew, okay. He's up on his roof, and he looks down, and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath. All right, that's how she got her name. Okay, no, just kidding. And he commits adultery with her. But here's the catch. He's already married, and so is she. And he's good friends with her husband. And to make matters worse, she gets pregnant, and he devises this evil little plot to have his friend murdered so that this whole baby being born can be covered up. Oh, my goodness. Now that is murder. That is wickedness. Was David forgiven? Yeah, he was. I mean, you can tell from the text, you can tell from the Bible that David was forgiven. Moses, he killed somebody with his bare hands. What about this guy? Paul. Paul actually oversaw and took part in the martyrdom of many Christian believers. What do you think about that? That's pretty serious. That's murder. Was he forgiven? Absolutely. So, as you can see, this is not an offense that's going to send you straight to hell, at least as far as the murder is concerned. We still need to address that whole issue of confessing your sins, okay? As far as murder, that's not a damnable offense if you have trusted in Christ alone, okay? And he did pay for your sins. But we still got an issue of, what about repentance? Well, that's where we need to kind of look. We need to get down and dirty and look at what salvation is, okay? Salvation is the situation where you've trusted in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, okay? Christ, he died on a cross 2,000 years ago. Okay, God himself came down in flesh, okay? He was this hypostatic union. We've got, that's a big word, right? You've got God and man, 100% God, 100% man, in this body of Christ, right? This is Jesus, fully God, fully man, lives a perfect sinless life, and then he dies on the cross, willingly taking the punishment that you and I deserved. Guys, this is not something that we did, this is something that he did, all right? And when we trust in him and what he did on that cross for us, that's as far as works go for us. And I don't even want to call that a work, okay? That's not a work. You're just trusting in Christ. He does everything. If you refuse to trust in Christ, as so many people on this planet do, that is damnable, okay? That is something that you will be going to eternal punishment for, all right? You have rejected the Savior. You know you're a sinner, and you've rejected him, all right? But salvation is not based on something that you do, okay? It's not in you keeping the law. It is not in you even repenting. Whoa, wait, hold on. What's going on there? So many people teach that repentance is necessary for salvation. Now, this is kind of like the whole baptism thing. Repentance is a necessary step in the process of salvation. I'll give you that. But do you need to repent first to be saved, or is repentance something that happens as a necessary outcome of that salvation, just like baptism? Okay, remember we did that series on baptismal regeneration. Do you get baptized in order to be saved, or do you get baptized as a result of your salvation? God saved you and you're like, oh, I want to identify with Christ. I want to be baptized. He commanded it. I want to do it. Likewise, you realize you're a sinner. Okay. And you know, repentance is this 180 turn. It is turning away from your sins and going the other direction, right? Okay. I know I'm a sinner and I know there's nothing I can do in and of myself to save me. So what do? I trust in Christ alone because he's the only one that can save me. He died on that cross for me. So you trust in Christ. And what happens immediately after that? I gotta change. I got to stop this. I got to change and stop being the schmuck I've been all of my life. Sanctification. That process of sanctification starts and your life starts cleaning up. Repentance is something that is granted to you. Check this out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. It says this: in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. See, God gives us that. Oh boy, now we're getting into that whole predestination, Arminianism, Calvinism thing. Not going to touch it. I see that as a paradox, and I don't want to debate that. I don't see that it's even worth debating. God chooses us, yet we are fully held accountable for our wickedness, for the things that we do. It's a paradox. There's something going on there, and I don't think we're going to fully get to the bottom of it until we're on the other side of the grave, right? When we are in our glorified bodies, and God explains this whole thing to us. But God gives us repentance. I mean, it says it right there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. All right, so we're granted repentance. In other words, when we're saved, at that moment of trusting in Christ, we are justified. That means that at that very moment, if a plane was to crash out of the sky and land on our head and squish us, okay, we would be saved. If you can hear my dog barking in the background, sorry about that. So at that moment, we are justified. We're saved. And then starts that process, our lifelong process of sanctification. And that's where God cleans us up. That's where the Holy Spirit illuminates various sins in our life. And then, well, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through our efforts, we try to remove that sin from our lives. We repent. We turn away from these sins. And we really got to do that. Okay, this is an effort. This is a lifelong effort of changing and turning away and becoming more like Christ. Okay, but again, it's something that is granted to us. All right, and we're not perfect. So anyway, tomorrow we're going to pick right up where we left off today. I still have a few things left to say about suicide and this whole topic. Tomorrow will be the end of this series. It's a very short one, and praise God for that, because this is a pretty, it's just one of those subjects I don't like dwelling on, but it needs to be talked about. It's a very serious issue, and a lot of people want to know about it. So, friends, if this is your first time with Youth Apologetics Training, soon to be Answer Ready Ministries, I have a lot of other podcasts out there that are, well, on issues like creation, evolution, apologetics, worldviews, researching various cults, Bible contradictions, Bible difficulties, all kinds of stuff. If you come out to my website, youthapologeticstraining.com, and soon answerreadyministries.com, and click on that podcast archive link, that'll take you to an area where there is pretty close to 500 podcasts, and I'm adding to them every day. All right, it's all free. It's all for you guys. So come check it out. Friends, like I said, we'll pick this up tomorrow, exactly where I left off here today. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.